So, Father, we want to lift up the name of Jesus and declare, Father, that his name is above every name, every principality, every power. And to declare, Lord Jesus, that you are the author of our salvation, the means of our very life, and you are the coming King. And Lord Jesus, you have said that we can pray in your name and you do the work. Oh Lord, this is so humbles us. We ask you, Father, especially to teach us this morning what this means. So Father, in that precious, wonderful name of Jesus, we ask for your Holy Spirit to overshadow us, deliver us from just selfish, sensual, soulish things, and grant us that precious leading of your Holy Spirit, that you may be glorified. And we ask this for the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read this psalm, Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. Here we are. Wonderful. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them. Everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. His righteousness never fails. Who can forget the wonders he performs? How gracious and merciful is our Lord. He gives food to those who trust him. He always remembers his covenant. He has shown his great power to his people by giving them the lands of other nations. All he does is just and good, and all his commandments are trustworthy. They are forever true, to be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. He has paid a full ransom for his people. Wonderful. He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name he has. Reverence for the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. The rewards of wisdom come to all who obey him. Praise his name forever. Hallelujah. Praise his name forever. The scripture says, my mouth shall continually show forth thy praise. I find this very challenging. I just sense so much my mouth is not used as it should be for praising the Lord. But we can, the Holy Spirit will enable us to grow in it. Well, we want to consider, especially this morning, what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Because he said 5 times, possibly 6 times, Jesus said, if you ask in my name, I will do it. I mean, what he's virtually saying is, if you ask in my name, you're tapping into all the power that created the universe. And so he wants to give us confidence that he's well able to deal with our prayers and answer them. But before we seek to enter that, I think some of you weren't here last month, we'll just do a quick review. That'd be all right then. Tony asked me to make a tape last week, and it's here and it's going on. So if you want it, it could possibly end up in the church library. What we were thinking of last week was, especially looking at John 17, where we were looking at Jesus at prayer. And we saw in John 17 that the thing that really comes out there is the love between the Father and the Son. And we realize that what Jesus wants for us is when we come to prayer, to come into that atmosphere of love. I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm loved. The everlasting God loves me. And perhaps we ought to just quote that last, just to make a link, that last bit in John 17. I would say that if you want to know, you have to look at John's, carefully meditate on this prayer. O righteous Father, I'm reading the last two verses. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me, and I've revealed you to them, and will keep on revealing you. I will do this so that your love for me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus wants to reveal himself to us, so the love of the Father to Jesus, we might realize we have a blood-bought right to share in that love. So if you're ever feeling unloved and things aren't going well, go back to this great rock. Jesus loves me and he will never stop loving me. And we saw that we chose a few scriptures to show that it's through the power of the blood of Jesus that we have right of access to this love and to God's presence. I don't know what you feel, but I think we can all say we hunger, don't we, deep down in our hearts, for more of God and for his very presence. In his presence, problems just disappear, mountains disappear. And so we want to just remind ourselves of this scripture. It's just one of many. So, dear friends, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. It's too much, isn't it? We, us little nothings, we can this morning enter the most holy place boldly because we belong to the right church. Because we've got all our doctrine sorted out. Because we feel we're pretty good. No. Because of the blood of Jesus. This is the new life-giving way that Christ has opened up for us through the sacred curtain by means of his death for us. And that curtain was split and cried from the cross. It was divided for us. We have access to the holiest of all. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting him. And of course, this is a call for our personal devotion. So the presence of God is so vital to us. And the interesting thing about the presence of God that I'm learning more and more, we tend to think of the presence of God as being personal. I get into my little private place and seek the presence of God. And that's true. We have to do that. If I come to you this morning having not sought the presence of God, I'm deceiving you, aren't I? But it's more important to realize that the presence of God is communal. It's the church. We can't really experience the full wonder of the presence of God unless we experience it together. And this is the Lord is showing me so in a wonderful way. The worship time we have here at St. Paul's, and God wants to use that to usher us as a people into the presence of God. And when you have your groups, your focus groups, it's wonderful to praise him together and spend time together seeking his presence and let something of his glory come amongst you in together. That's very important, which is what we're doing this morning, is it not? So I think that's roughly what we did last time, isn't it, Tony? Amen. The love of God that welcomes you, the blood of Jesus that makes it possible, and we can rejoice in these things. Now this morning we want to consider this question of what does it mean to ask in his name. I don't think I need to go through those. You all know those scriptures, don't you, where Jesus says, if you ask in my name, I will do it. 6 times he says that. Would you like me to read those, or are you all right? Eh? I think you're all right. John 14, 15 and 16. I'll perhaps just read one of them to give it authority, because this isn't meant to be a Bible study. John 14, 13. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, anything in my name, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. And the end result is going to be glory to the Father. What does it mean? What was he saying? And I suppose there are so many different books and talks about this. And what I want to share with you this morning is perhaps just one aspect of this. And it's built on what we've been saying so far. The presence of God, the glory of God, the power of his precious blood. It's all a preparation so that we can understand what it means to use the name of Jesus in prayer. Sometimes we end our prayers and we say, in the name of Jesus. And God looks into our hearts and he knows what we mean. And he knows that we're not just doing a repetition. And he honors that. But I think he wants to show us a deeper meaning of this, which is linked to praise. Now, I meant to bring with me this morning Terry Law's book, because he was here. You were all here. Did you hear Terry Law? Mm-hmm. And who heard Terry Law when he was here? Good. Well, quite a number of you. Did you? No, you were away, weren't you? Well, he came and preached in St. Paul's last week before. Terry Law, and his great theme is praise and worship. His great theme is that through praise and worship, God does immeasurably more than you could ask or think. He heals, he releases the bondages of people, he saves people, and he glorifies his name. And so he's a man who is, as he says in his own words, given up to praise and worship. And God has shown him that that is the key to true evangelism. But I think I ought to just briefly tell how he came into this. He grew up as a rebellious teenager, even though his father was a Pentecostal pastor. And then God met him one day and he gave his heart to the Lord. He went to the Oral Roberts University, became a great co-worker when Oral Roberts went on many of his crusades. And he built up his own ministry, I forget what they called it now, a team of young men and women who created music, and they went round the world conducting worship, music, concerts and things, praising the Lord, and saw many, many souls come to the Lord through it. And he was building up this ministry, and he was came to London on his way to a conference in London for the European work. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone went, and a friend of his came in, and he said, Terry, I'm sorry to tell you, we've got sad news from Tulsa. Your wife has just been killed in a road accident. And he describes in his book how absolutely shattered he was. He was absolutely shattered. And he says, I was just completely numb. But more than that, he said, I was so angry with God. He said to God, look, I've given up everything for you. I've sacrificed everything. And here we are in the middle of this ministry, and this is how you repay me. So he felt genuinely angry and numb. And so the only conclusion I could come was, I said to God, that's the finish. I'm going to finish this ministry now. And they had the funeral, and a lot of kind friends came to the funeral. And about that time, this great friend of his, Oral Roberts, you know Oral Roberts, do you? His son was mugged and murdered by some teenagers in the city at about this same time. And he sent for Terry to come to his office. And they sat there commiserating their pain, their loss. And Terry kept on breaking down in tears and a sense of utter hopelessness and frustration, bewilderment and anger. And then Oral Roberts came over to him, as he recounts, and stood over him and said, Terry, you've got to go home and do one thing, and you must do it. You must go home and praise. He said, I couldn't. He said, that was the last thing I wanted to do. But Oral Roberts said, you must. So he went home, knelt by his bed, and he started to praise. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. He said it was so hollow. And the devil kept on saying to him, you're a hypocrite, because you know you don't mean it. But he stuck in there, and he kept on praising, and kept on praising, musing, praising scriptures, feeling absolutely awful, he says. When you hear him recounting it himself, he can really express how devastated he felt, and how hypocritical he felt. But he went on an hour, 2 hours. And after about 2.5 hours, suddenly he felt the Spirit of God break through into his whole being. And the Spirit of praise came upon him. And he began to praise out of the Spirit. And he said, as he did that, his whole being was renewed, and his hurt was healed. And God gave him this ministry that he has now, a tremendous worldwide ministry, considerable power. And he says, no wonder I'm a man who believes in praise. He said, God showed it to me most dramatically. And then I think I ought to finish the story. He married again, didn't he? He had these three children, you see, to try and look after. And he was trying to look after these children as best he could. And similarly, in the same city, there was a lady, I forget her name now, who had lost her husband with cancer. And she had 2 or 3 children. And one morning, she woke up, and the Lord said to her, go down to McDonald's this morning for breakfast. You remember?
Yeah.
That's right. She said, I don't want to go down to McDonald's. So he shared this with the boy. We've got to go to McDonald's for breakfast. What have you got to go to McDonald's for
breakfast?
Yeah. And they said, yeah. they thought it was great. You see, so they trooped off to McDonald's, and they sat there, and in walked Terry Law with his children. And she said, I couldn't help noticing that he'd got different coloured socks on. And his shirt was hanging out, and his collar was dirty. He didn't really know how to, and the children weren't properly dressed. So he sat down there trying to cope with the children. And so eventually they shared the same table and began to chat and explain who they were and what had happened. And that was the beginning of a romance that turned into another marriage. Dear me, that's taken some time, hasn't it? In the name of Jesus, I want to share with you just briefly what the Lord has shown me recently, something of what this means. Last weekend, what are we on? Yes, we're Thursday. Towards the end of last week, or during last week, Elizabeth and I ran into quite a dark spell. She has a little house. She's bought my son's old house so that he could be free to buy a new one and not carry 2 mortgages. And we rent this house out. And the recent tenants have created a big problem for us. They redone one of the ceilings, which they said they would do didn't take up the carpet, which was a fairly new one, and the carpet got covered with plaster, had to be removed and thrown away, and the ceiling is still a mess. They put on a handrail, which they said they wanted, and we paid for that, and the handrail is not very well fixed. I think it's fixed better now. Then they wanted a different door at the back, and so they took out a perfectly good door, and they put in a very, very cheap door. And none of the work has been done properly at all, at all, at all. And they've charged us through the nose, and stupidly, we've paid without waiting to see the results. You see, we've been witnessing to them, and their children have been coming to Royal Rangers, and so we felt we wanted to encourage them, and they've taken us, in a sense, for a ride. And I felt very angry with myself for being so unbusinesslike. I felt angry with these people, and I lost my freshness with the Lord, as you always do. But I didn't know what to do. But I realized I'd been here before with our drive. So I sat there and I forgave them in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And then the Lord gave me this picture. I'm so grateful. He said, my name is like a slide. He showed me, you know how you have these little slides? You put a slide in and project a screen, a picture onto a screen. He said, you can put a slide in and project onto the screen of your mind the size of your problem. And you can look at it in all details and talk about it and see that problem. Or it might be some soulish activity that you enjoy, but it's you and your problem and your fleshy activities. And it just fills your mind. And the Lord showed me, there's no blessing there. I can't enter into that. He said, why don't you take that slide out and put in a Jesus slide? And let your mind be full of the glory of who Jesus is. And then I heard the Lord say, as you do that, you're coming before the Father in my name. And then I can take your problem, unbeknown to you, and I'll deal with it. And so the Lord just showed me that, to put it very simply, to ask in the name of Jesus means to take out the side of all your own problems and your soulish selfishness and so on and so forth, that Satan would have you meditate on and fill out your thoughts and your desires. Jesus says, take it out, and then you can see the hand that takes it out is bloodstained, and put in my picture, and you'll see the scriptures help you to fill it out. And then, as you begin to praise and worship the Lord for who he is, and let your mind be filled with his glory, his love, and his wonder, unbeknown to you, almost, he deals with the problem. And this is what he's doing about this house. He's taken the thing right out of my hands. And somebody has come in a sense, and is coping with it in a way that we never thought was possible. So, if you could remember this morning, asking in the name of Jesus, one aspect of it is to see what slide, what picture Satan wants to fill your mind with, and say, I won't have that. I'm going to have the Jesus slide. Lord Jesus, I bury all that in your death, and now I thank you, oh, for your slide, and I worship you, and bring glory to your name. And you'll find it's useful to have some praising scriptures to hand. I'm just going through this new Bible, underlining all the praising scriptures I can find. And it's lovely when you've got a moment just to sit down and look at the praising scriptures. I've just opened one here. Give your burdens. This isn't a praising scripture, but it's the same. Give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. Oh God, I praise your word. Lord, I praise your word. I trust in God. So why should I be afraid? What can mortals do to me? My heart is confident in you, O God. I wonder, no wonder I can sing your praises. I thank you, Lord, in the front of all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations. Let's just open them. O Lord God, I praise your word. I trust in God. So why, we read that one. So why should I be afraid? And there are so many praising scriptures. So there's perhaps more that God wants to show us about asking in his name, but I believe unless we learn this thing, it's very difficult, isn't it? Put in the slide into your mind of the glory of Jesus, and you will find it here in such wonderful language. Let me just read this amazing statement. In Revelation 19, we're coming to the end of things now, in a sense. Anyway, then the 24 elders and the four living, verse 4, being fell down and worshipped God who was sitting on the throne. Wow, God on the throne. They cried out, Amen, Hallelujah. Oh, wouldn't that be a shout? Let's say it all together. Amen, Hallelujah. Again, Amen, Hallelujah. And that's from the throne. You see, just these boys around the throne. And so are we. And then what happens? And from the throne came a voice that said, just steep yourself in your worries. It'll do you an awful lot of good. It'll pickle you. And the voice said, praise our God, all his servants, from the least to the greatest. None of us is exempt. All who fear him. That's from the throne. That's from the throne. We're all included, from the least to the greatest. You might, like us, think that we're amongst the least, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Praise from the throne. Can you just imagine that? As they sang, Amen and Hallelujah, the voice from the throne of God called down and said, yes, praise the least to the greatest. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. So, hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I'm having a little battle here inside me to go on reading some praising scriptures, but I think you can sort those out for your little selves, can't you? Yes. Underline them or make a list of them. If you haven't got a list, if you let me know, I'll give you a list. Mainly from the Psalms, but also from the New Testament and the rest of the Old Testament. You know, Tony, you just have to put a stop to me because I get carried away. You know that wonderful story of Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 20. I sense the Lord's presence with us this morning, don't you? Beautiful. Beautiful. 2 Chronicles 20. And he was in such a jam. They were going to destroy Jerusalem, this barbarous lot. And he didn't know what to do, but his eyes were on the Lord. And God prophesied out of his worship. Oh, he began to worship God. And into that God spoke, told him what to do. And a stupid thing to do, to send the choir out in front of the army praising. I mean, mad. Very often when God does speak into your heart, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it didn't make sense to me last week. God said, stop it, take your hands off this problem. And here was I wanting to go and get solicitors and all sorts of things, you know. Forget it. Leave it to me. It doesn't seem, mad, but it's working out. Here we go. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped, saying, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be able to stand firm. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And after consulting leaders of the people, the king appointed special archers and spearmen and those with the best ability to fight to walk ahead of the army. It doesn't say that, does it? He appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is in the middle, this is before a battle. And this is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever." And the moment they began to sing and to give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and to start fighting amongst themselves. You see, as they filled the picture with the glory of their God, God worked. You see? Amen. Amen. So let us have a little time of praise now. And then we'll get into threes. And when you get into threes, just praise together. Just whichever way you feel happiest, to praise and lift the name of the Lord together. And then ask him, ask the Holy Spirit, what you should pray for. And remember, we're primarily met here to pray for this fellowship, for the leadership and all the departments of the church. We're not here to pray for the Vietnamese boat people quite so much. Although, if the Lord lays something specific on your heart like that, then you follow that. But let's just praise him a little bit. And we'll do it like we tend to. We'll go round one to the other, so we're all included, from the least to the greatest. And just, hi, off, come in. Hey, we just come in for a time of praise. All right, you've got to go, dear. Sorry. How old is your little boy? Oh, what's his name?
Caleb.
Let's pray for Caleb. Father, we just thank you for Caleb. What a lovely name. And Lord Jesus, thank you for this precious mother. And Lord, as she leaves us and goes out to collect him, may he feel something of her love more and more, and of your love channeled through her. And Lord Jesus, may your blessing rest upon her as she praises you in our heart. And let that flow down upon this dear boy. Oh, Lord, for the glory of your name. Amen. 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 So you can praise as you go. Amen. Just try. So we'll praise. Just remember, in its simplest form, and this is important to start, is I'll say again, if I said to you, I'm going to praise my wife, you would know exactly what I was going to do. I wouldn't need a tambourine or a guitar or a worship leader. I would just tell you the good things I know about her. And I better not start on that one either. So when you praise God, just say, "Lord, I praise you that you will love." Okay, that's fine. We'll pass on to the next one. "I praise you, your King." Whatever is in your heart, if we all went round and said the same thing, it wouldn't matter, you see. So we'll go from one to the other and see if you can go reasonably quickly. Just call out a word that speaks of who Jesus is, you see. Just as you want it in your heart. And so, Father, we want to gather now and praise your name as all your saints have done, as Jehoshaphat did. And so, Father, grant us something of a spirit of praise, dear Lord. And Father, I just want to praise you that you are, through your Lord Jesus, the great creator. You are the creator of all the universes. I praise you for that. Amen. Mm-hmm.